Netflix does its original series, mm-hmm. like the Peaky Blinders mm-hmm. or Marco Polo, something like that. They do an Amazon Prime version. Mm-hmm. So there's one right now that I think I'm about to start tonight. It's called The Man in High Garden. And it's basically all about, like, what if the Nazis had actually won World War II? Ooh. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of an interesting concept. Yeah. I like it. Plus, they have, like, you know, a bunch of different movies on there that some of the other companies don't have rights to. Right. But, yeah, I'm really into this streaming service gig right now. I don't know if I'm going to pay for it fully, but for a 30-day free trial, you know, why not? All I had to do was sign up for an account. I've set a reminder on my phone to discontinue service in like 29 days so I don't get charged for it.
Yeah, right,
you know. So I figured, why not? I'm currently on the TV in the studio, and I'm trying my best not to pay attention to it. Is the United States versus England game in the 2019 Women's World Cup. And right now it is 2-1 to the United States. We're about 10 minutes into the second half of the game. And, man, I'm telling you, this is quite the nail-biting game. So, all right, that's it. That's all I'm going to discuss for the rest of the day. Unless, of course, somebody else wants to bring it up, then please feel free. As I said, the phone lines are open. All right, so on my agenda for this hour, right, I figured we'd talk about a new story to kind of, you know, obviously scare you, because that's what media likes to do these days, is scare you things coming up this summer. We're going to be talking about a very, very unfortunate story that took place in South London over the weekend. And this one just, poor guy. But, you know, what are you going to do? And they're also going to be talking about pest control and things like that, because unless you didn't know, before actually getting back into radio in the St. Louis market, I did pest control for about 4 years. And I mean, throughout all of St. Louis. So if you've got questions on mosquitoes, if you've got questions about moles, possibly carpenter ants or termites, anything like that, you're more than welcome to call in, and I'll see if I can give you any advice or any help, you know? So there you go. Also, tomorrow, I know we're going to mix things up a bit, because obviously Thursday is the 4th of July, and we are not going to be in the studio. Not I, not Quinton, not Scott Sherman, no one. So tomorrow, I'm going to have the honored guest of Johnny Londoff in the studio with me. He's going to be here for the 4 o'clock hour, and we're also going to do the Dr. Doug segment as normal. But we're going to mix things up a little bit, and we're going to have Scott Sherman answering all of your legal questions or any issues that you might be having with the legal system in the 3 o'clock hour. All right. So, yeah, just kind of make a mental note of that. If you're planning to call him up on Thursday or you need a question answered, don't do that on Thursday. Do it tomorrow in the 3 o'clock hour. And hopefully he'll probably hang around for a little bit as well. So, you know, we can get to know Scott a little bit better. I think you'll like that. So, yeah. All right. Do not forget, tomorrow, 3 p.m. hour, Scott Sherman is going to be in for the entire hour answering all of your legal questions. All right. So, Quinton, do you have anything for the Burke segment today?
You know, I don't. Nothing's really happening.
Nothing jumping out at you?
No.
All right, well, that's fine. Mine is really kind of mundane and boring, but I'm actually a little bit proud of myself for being so adult and purchasing this item, right? Got myself a new car a couple months back, and with the summer heating up and all that, I just decided, you know what, I'm tired of getting into my car and it being like an oven. So finally, after years, and I don't know why I didn't get this earlier, because it's so simple, I got one of those windshield things that you put in your window,
yeah,
and it like reflects the sun back out.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, like, I don't know why I never bought this, because it makes the world of difference when you're
really
getting into a car. I'm telling you. You know, I mean, it's the summer. You get in and everything is hot inside your car and it's stifling. Just this little thing. I mean, it's easily a good 10 to 15 degrees cooler now when I get inside my car, which is kind of nice, you know, in the middle of summer. You don't want to get in and then you're having to wait for the AC to cool down. Mm-hmm. You got the windows rolling and, you know, it's
you're just
not
in there
nice.
Baking.
Exactly. You're just in there baking. So, oh, that reminds me. I should probably Google bacon facts. So, you know, if I ever run out
bacon.
Of things to talk about. Bacon! Oh, and apparently I pronounced the name of the TV show I'm about to watch. It's The Man in the High Castle. So there you go. Check it out on Amazon Prime if you've got it. And give us something to talk about tomorrow or later on. All right. So, well, I don't have to close the book segment because technically I didn't really open it. So there we go. All right. Let's start with the story that's probably meant to scare you. I don't remember who posted it. It was some newspaper that now puts most of their stuff online or whatever. I don't know. I didn't pay attention. I just thought it was kind of funny. So this is how it starts, right? As pool season kicks into high gear, you'll want to be extra careful not to accidentally swallow any of the water this year. Officials are warning that a tough-to-kill fecal parasite. Yeah, you know what fecal means? It's the, I think it's the scientific word for poop.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah, there you go. Okay, yeah. So, a fecal parasite frequently transmitted via swimming pools is on the rise, and that if transmitted can leave you suffering from profuse watery diarrhea for up to 3 weeks. Isn't that kind of nice, you know? So here we go, and somebody's texting over. They have two bug questions. Go ahead. Like, if you want to call in and ask them, you can, because right now I can't really reply to the text line. You know, I can't text and talk at the same time. I'm not as skilled as Franco Pinion. So this is the report, and apparently it's by the CDC. So, I mean, whether or not that's official or not, I don't know, but it's the CDC, so you typically don't mess around with them. And the report states that a number of outbreaks has risen on average of 13% each year since 2009, and that most folks tend to catch it at public swimming pools and water parks. Which, of course, everybody is going to be going to right now because, you know, it's the 2nd of July. We are officially in summer. It's only going to get hot for the next couple of months. So, there you go. And it says here, while symptoms of infection are obviously unpleasant, and this word I'm going to do my best to pronounce because this is the actual name of the illness or the ailment, is cryptosporidiosis.
Hey, ooh, good job.
Thank you. Talk about a mouthful there. It's almost never fatal, so you're not going to die of the runs, but still, of the 156 related outbreaks and 4,232 subsequent cases that have been documented since 2009, it's only led to 183 people going to the hospital. And this is where it gets a little bit nasty, but, you know, what are you going to do? Outbreaks are caused by infected swimmers, people who actually already have the diarrhea, and they haven't waited an appropriate amount of time after their symptoms subside. Now, they say here it's at least 2 weeks, and I didn't actually know that was a thing. I mean, granted, if I've ever had diarrhea, I haven't gone and, like, you know, gone and jumped in a swimming pool the second I feel better about myself or feeling well.
Right.
So people jump in the pool, and this is their words, not mine. They subsequently excrete the parasite in the pool. So isn't that nice? And then it gets worse. Others are infected by accidentally ingesting 10 or fewer parasite eggs. So you put the parasite in the water, it then lays eggs, and then when you're out there, and you know, you get some little kid, they swallow a mouthful of water and then they spin it out. Well, you got parasites in your mouth now. So that's what happens. Nasty. But just to kind of relax and calm down, as I said, there have only been, I think, in the last 10 years, 183 hospitalizations of this, and there are something like, where is it, 309,000 public swimming pools in America. All right, so, you know, that's kind of a lot of swimming pools, so I don't think you should worry too much about that. But I figured, hey, it's got the word poop and fecal in it, why not, you know, let's have some fun with that. All right, let's have some fun indeed with that. Now, do you have a 2-minute sportscast recorder? You do? All right. I'm going to be challenging you to that around 3:30.
Okay.
All right, but we're also going to have a little actual learning thing. Now, I'm going to speak some technical lingo to you that you understand, but our listeners won't understand, right?
Okay.
You know how to turn the gain down mm-hmm. on your microphone?
Yes.
You're sounding a little bit distorted. So oh, if wow. our listeners are out there, you can hear, like, you know, he almost has a little bit of tinge or a little bit of echo to him. That's because his gain is way up. He's raised the levels. All right. So now give me a little tester.
Test, test.
There you go. That sounds a lot better. Now I just need to turn you up. There you go.
All right.
Now also, right, because I was trained by Dan Strauss and also a guy who used to do our traffic reports, Tim Weiland. He actually taught me how to do this in the broadcast center. So you need to sit up straight. There you go. Look at that. Look at that posture.
Hard when these seats can...
You're managed. You know, you kind of lean forward, elbows on the desk. You want to get the professional mindset, you know? Then lift up your microphone just a little bit so it's directly in front of your mouth.
Like so.
Like so. A little bit higher because you're talking down into it. There you go.
Ah.
There you go. See? It sounds crisper. It sounds nicer. You know? All right. So. Yes. There you go. I just wanted to discuss that with you because, you know...
I appreciate it.
It's all a learning experience,
life
right?
Life is a learning experience.
Life is a learning experience. Now, if you want to text over any bug-related questions, you can. The numbers are the same. It's 855-282-8255. And, I can answer them over the air. I just cannot respond to them because that would be rude because then I would have to, you know, just kind of... let you be and then play a commercial or something like that while I'm trying to answer somebody's text, and that's just rude. I'm not going to do that. All right, so one here from Big Nate is, does the rain make more bugs seek shelter inside houses? I have noticed more bugs and spiders on the inside. Kind of. I mean, if you've got a fly out there or a bee or a wasp or something and it's raining a lot, obviously winged animals and winged insects don't do so well in the rain, so they try to find the nearest bit of shelter. And if it is warm like this and you've got a front door open, a lot of fresh air, a cold air is flowing outside, so that is kind of like a beacon to bugs and insects and things like that, that, hey, this is a prime habitat for me to lay some eggs or to live for a little bit. And they can sense that, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
So it might drive them in a little bit more, but spiders and things like that, not really. The rain isn't going to dry them up, because I know people are talking about like squirrels and stuff like that with all the floodwaters. Yeah, sure. But I don't think that's really going to affect insects so much, because... the flying ones, the rain is an actual hazard to them. Spiders, not so much. They can just go... I mean, they've got 8 legs. They can climb anywhere they want, and they can get into the shelter. And I know quite the best way to get rid of a spider is, we can talk about that in a minute. And then, do they call roly-polies or pill bugs here in Missouri? We call them roly-polies. Asking Quinton for the pronunciation. I'm guessing that's what I mean. Like, do I call them roly-polies in England? Yeah, pretty much. They're those weird little bugs. I think the actual term for them is a woodlouse or a woodlice, you know? And it's those little gray hard shell bugs. And when you mess with them, they roll into a circle, into a little ball, and that's how they defend themselves.
They're also known as pill bugs.
Yeah, pill bugs. There you go. Yeah, because it looks like a little pill, mm-hmm. So... yeah, there you go. Hopefully I have answered your bug questions, Nate. We do have roly-polies in England. All right, now, another thing that's on there that's kind of going rampant right now out there are moles. If you have an issue with moles and you like to talk about it, I can help you with that. Not a problem. I hunted moles for 4 years. I know how they work. And can you say hunted moles?
Yeah, I was gonna say, you say hunt.
Maybe
what do you
not.
Mean?
Maybe not. I I set a couple of traps, basically. Mm. All right. Like, I set traps, and that was kind of it. And they're moles, once you find their runs actually in the ground, because they make tunnels under the grass, and you can kind of see the, how it works, like, what direction they're going through, and how they're making their way through the yard. Which is pretty good. It's just all about looking at the grass. And if you're standing like, you know, just normal height in front of your lawn, you can see you've got a nice green grass in front of you. And then you've got these lines, and the, those are the mole runs, right? Oh. So you can find out where they're going. So the oldest ones have got the deadest grass on top of it. That's where it's kind of almost looks like straw. It's got that yellow tinge to it. It's dying some. And that's where the roots have been pushed away. They've been eaten or anything like that. And then they carry on. And so the fresher grass is where they're going, right? So that's how it works. Where was I? Got space there for a second. Sorry, England scored a goal, and I saw it out the corner of my eye, and then it was determined as offside, so now America is still up 2-1. All right, I'm going to move along from that. Where was I? Moles. Okay, yes. So, and then as you follow the fresher grass, that's where you kind of know. So you don't really want to put a trap where you think they're going to go. You want to put it halfway between the fresh new grass that they still haven't killed yet and the old grass, because that way they have a burrow in the middle somewhere of all these runs, and that's where they kind of sleep, hang out, and chill for the night or the day, depending on when they're up, because I'm not sure they're nocturnal. I don't know, but they can't see. They always live in darkness, so I don't think it matters to them. So they always go out into their tunnels, they forage, they come back to their thing in the middle. And oh, look at that, we actually have a call about moles now. All right, Tom, how you doing, sir? What's going on in your world?
Good. How are you all doing today?
Ah, another day in paradise, my friend. Another day in paradise. I'm more relaxed today. I'm feeling a little bit better. Yesterday, I was kind of rushed. I was flustered, but, you know, what are you going to do? So, what you got for us? What's the problem?
Hey, I'll tell you what. You guys put on a great show. Well, on getting rid of moles, the way we do it is we take we use what's called a Kevorkian method. We take like a lawnmower, a motorcycle, anything with an engine on it that you could put a pipe in there, put it in that ground, gas them. They won't come back all year.
They won't. I've heard of that. You know, I've heard of that.
We've been doing that for years, and I tell you what, just stick it from the tailpipe of a car, or anything. Just run a hose into that tunnel, let it run for about 20 minutes, and you will never have another mole. That carbon monoxide will stay in the ground.
I guess so. Yeah. So I've never really thought about that because I've never really had a mole issue on my own yard, so I can't do that myself.
Man.
Like I've been the one who's gone there, so I've been the professional who has to do it, like, you know, properly with the traps and all that. But all right.
We get everybody else's mold is what our problem is. They come from everybody else's yard and ours for some reason.
That is a problem.
In the springtime, you just gas them once and you won't have them the rest of the year.
They say, actually, that when you're getting one, like, unless it's a mother that is nesting, you've got about one mole per acre of ground. And you think about an acre of ground, like a square acre. That is a lot. And that mole, if it is fine and by itself, it will take care of that area in no time flat. I mean, it will destroy your lawn. That is no joke.
Oh, well, that, they'll get into the flower garden and like hostas and stuff like that.
Yes,
they'll kill them.
They do. I mean, you go and you put in some nice, like, ornate flower piece and all that, you're really happy, you're gonna let it go through the spring, and then boom, comes through and kills everything.
Try that method. That's the easiest method. It works like a charm.
All right, I'll give it a whirl. Well, Tom, thank you very much, I appreciate that. The Kevorkian method.
The Kevorkian, it worked for him.
Oh, Quinson, you got a question for Tom?
I'm just curious. Well, not for Tom, for anybody, I guess, who knows. I mean, are these...
All right, Tom, you have a great day, mate.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, bye.
So are these moles feeding on the plants, or are they just killing the plants? I mean, what's the purpose of...
They forage for grubs and bugs and worms and larva and things that live just beneath the surface of the grass. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they eat the grass roots, I couldn't tell you. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's part of their diet or anything like that, but I can tell you they go for the grubs.
Gotcha.
They go for that. So I'm going to take Cindy real quick. We'll talk to her. Then we're going to take a quick break so you can do your sports. We can hear from Frank. We can get, like, you know, make sure my bases are covered. And then we're going to answer some of the questions that are coming over on the text line. But if you do have any question about bugs, insects, moles, something like that, coming up in a few minutes, one of the listeners of the show, actually, that I'm friends with on Facebook, posted a picture and a plan of how to make a homemade mosquito trap. And I'm going to be reading through that because it works. It actually works. So, all right, Cindy, how are you today, my dear?
I'm fine. I'm calling from Kansas City.
Ooh, whoa, Kansas City. All right.
Mole capital of the United States.
The mole Capelina. All right, fair. What you got for us?
I have about 3/4 of an acre. Man. It's really wild here. I call it Kansas City, the swamp. And anyhow, I'm using.
Oop.
Anyway.
Sorry.
I'm using Sonic emitters.
Uh huh.
You've seen those before where you bury them and they.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I've heard about these. So, all right, yeah. You said sonic emitters, right?
They put out a noise, like you would hear, a whale would hear in the ocean, like somebody ping.
Right. Or kind of like a dog whistle, like it's only, they can only, only the moles can pick it up.
You're supposed to chase them away. And my problem is, I like the other guy's idea, but my dog digs the hole up first.
Right, yeah, that can be an issue because you don't want to poison your dog. I have heard use about people who do grub killers and things like that because if you can take out its food source, then you're free and covered, right? I mean, obviously, yeah. If it's got no food, it's going to go to somebody else's piece of land. Hang on a second, Cindy. You know your Quinton, you know your microphone is on, yeah. Yeah, your microphone is on, so you're talking to like, everyone. It's fine, mate. Now it's off.
It's literally the production. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Sorry, Cindy. I do apologize. I just wanted to let him know in case he said anything crazy. So there you go. All right.
Anyhow, oops, I did it again.
Anyway.
It's fine. It's fine. You know, it's going to happen.
Cranking the gang. They're in Europe. Tell them to go eaten path. And get lost.
absolutely. All right. Well, do you still want help with your mole thing? Because I can give you a couple of recommendations, but it's
a grub problem, and I'm in a wet area also.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they boil through everything, including tree roots. They can do everything. I mean, they tear a yard up. Right now, it's fairly under control with these. Sonic emitters, sonar emitters.
Yeah. They sonar. Okay, yeah. Sonar, sonic emitters. It's pretty much the same thing. That can work. All right. Well, I would recommend, I mean, the best thing would probably be with your dog. I would try and, I don't know how much rain you're getting out there in Kansas, but we're getting a boatload down here in St. Louis. So I would kind of wait until you've had a good few days of it first, because then if you go ahead and spray the bug killer on your yard and then it rains, it's just kind of going to be washed away or just down into the dirt where it's not going to be much use. So wait until you've got like a good couple of days of dry weather and you know the forecast is going to be another week or so dry, just so the ground can really absorb all of that, well, grub killer, I think is what it's called, all right?
I will attend myself to that. Thank you very much.
All right, Cindy, thank you very much, and you have yourself a great day.
Happy holidays, and shoot off some fireworks, buddy.
Oh, I'm gonna, absolutely. I love me some fireworks. I'm going to get down to the stand. Ooh, that's something I want to talk about after the break real quick. But let's talk to John, and John Brownlee says, who the hell knows spiders? I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
John,
hey,
what's
up? Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I like your British accent. Hey, listen, what's going on with all these brown recluse spiders coming out now? I've seen a lot of them running around.
That isn't something that's coming out now. That's something that has always been. This area, I mean, the entire St. Louis area, there are brown recluse spiders all over the place. You may not have noticed them before, but trust me, they have always been there. Are you having an issue with spiders where you live?
Yeah, well, where I work at, it's like a whole bunch full of them. We saw about 3 or 4 of them were just all congregated around the one corner, and they were like feeding off of something. It looked like it was like a rat or something. I don't know, it looked like some remains of a rat, but they were feeding off that. But anyway, what I was going to ask you another question. Yeah, anyway, man. Yeah, I like that, man. Anyway, hey.
John, what come about on,
that?
Man.
I know. Did you see a spider down in Australia that was eating a possum? What kind of spider is that? Is that around here? And maybe I need to know one if I can get one for the boss. Thanks.
I love John. I swear to God. I have seen that video of a spider eating a, a possum down there in Australia. And I think that is what they call a wolf spider or a huntsman spider. And it is absolutely massive. They have these giant, It's not related to the camel spider out in Afghanistan and all that in the Far East, but there is another spider that is of that size. I mean, it's absolutely, absolutely huge, and it will take care of anything. All right, so that's hopefully answered some of your mole questions. If you got any bug ones, I will be addressing how or what I think is the best way to tackle spiders when we come back. But right now, we're going to go and have a look at traffic. We're going to come back, have a listen from Frank, see what's going on in his world. And then, of course, Quentin is going to be giving us a sports report. So this is a traffic report on 590 The Fan. Don't worry, be honest, just be honest.
And now,
there you go,
for our look at traffic in the 3 o'clock hour.
Traffic is sponsored by Staples. Accident reported eastbound 44th, somewhere between Washington and Gray Summit. Also an accident westbound 44 near Lewis Road. Now that's got traffic backed up almost to 141. Earlier crash eastbound 70 at Air Flight. Westbound 370, you're on the brakes at Earth City Expressway. At Staples, there's a whole lot in store. Come in right now for a ream of Staples copy paper. Only $3.99. That's a 40% savings, so you can stock up in store only. Offer on SKU 13-5855 N7619. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the large morning show in the afternoon.
Hey, St. Louis, it's Matt Carpenter. This summer at Schnucks, you can help show the country why St. Louis is one of the most charitable cities in the United States. Our friends at Schnucks are once again teaming up with Folds of Honor to send the children of fallen military heroes to college. Last year, thanks to you, we raised $1.1 million. That's over 200 kids of military heroes sent to college by Schnucks shoppers who gave a few extra cents at checkout. To learn more and help support Folds of Honor, visit schnucks.com/Folds of Honor.
Hi there, Frank Opinion. In Europe at the moment, that sounds so strange to say that because I've never been there till now. First Community Credit Union. A couple of things that I want you not to forget while we're gone. One, home improvement project, like put in a pool, build a new deck, landscaping, you get the idea, Four Seasons room, whatever. Don't have the cash? First Community Credit Union has an answer to that, has a solution for that. It's called Home Equity Line of Credit. Look into it, because it's the smart way to borrow money to add to something to your house to make it more livable, more valuable, more enjoyable. So don't forget about that. Home Equity Line of Credit, First Community Credit Union. Okay, got a wedding coming up? Wedding loan, First Community Credit Union. Got your eye on a new motorcycle, new boat, car? First Community Credit Union. So basically, it comes down to this. It's a great place to bank, and all the things you do at any traditional sort of bank, you can do at First Community Credit Union. We just think they do it better. We, meaning the members. So why don't you join us and become a member? It's not a big deal. It's not hard to do. You close your accounts at your bank, go, hey, I'm out of here. I am going to become a member of First Community Credit Union. We'd love to have you. Over 40 locations. Number one, well, largest credit union in the St. Louis area. Number one in that respect and lots of other respects. First Community Credit Union. Find out more at firstcommunity.com.
Who's ready for Maryland-style crab cakes? At Surf and Sirloin, it's a true crab cake. No peppers or onion, no filler, just a little egg and breadcrumbs to bind the cake together. The crab cake entree is 8 ounces, of which 7.5 ounces is crab meat. That's how little filler is in there. Surf and Sirloin, located southwest quadrant of Manchester and 270, and serving only USDA prime beef, which you won't find at the grocery store. Surf and Sirloin. For reservations, call 822-3637 or through the app Open Table or online at surfandsirloin.com.
Do you like 100% Angus beef hot dogs? Then you need to check out Dirty Dogs Hot Dogs. All of their hot dogs, sausages, and buns are made only for Dirty Dogs. At Dirty Dogs, everything is cooked to order and prepared fresh daily. You won't find any microwaves or freezers either. Hang out on the outdoor patio and choose from over 100 different beers. And with 360-inch TVs, you won't miss the game either. Stop in at 3720 Monticello Plaza in O'Fallon or check them out online at DirtyDogsHotDogs.com. That's Dirty Dogs with a Z.
All right, so we are back. We're talking about bugs and stuff like that. Dan Buffer is going to be in next hour to talk TV, movies, and stuff like that with us. I got to say, hats off to the United States women's goalie. She just saved a penalty. England was awarded a penalty. They could have evened it out 2-2, but they didn't because that goalie was on form. I mean, she just jumped right on it and just absolutely nailed it. So, all right, Quinton, you ready for your sports? And then we're going to talk about mosquitoes and answer a couple more questions. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right, so here's your official intro. It's time for sports with Quinton.
St. Louis Cardinals are back in action tonight as they open a 3-game series at Seattle. Jack Flaherty gets the start on the mound for your Redbirds as he is opposed by righty Matt Caricciotti. Cardinals are only 3.5 games back as these next two road series are against bottom teams in their respective divisions. More NBA free agents have come off the market yesterday as we saw Isaiah Thomas sign a 1-year deal with the Washington Wizards. Former Dallas Mavericks Harrison Barnes finalized a 4-year, $85 million deal with the Sacramento Kings, bringing them much-needed defensive presence to the team. The Miami Heat completed a 4-team trade to acquire Jimmy Butler from the 76ers. In exchange, Miami sent big man Hassan Whiteside to the Portland Trailblazers, guard Josh Richardson to the 76ers, and a protected 2023 first-round pick to the Los Angeles Clippers. USA and England are underway in the highly anticipated semifinals match. As right now, USA is up 2-1 in the 86th minute. Like you just said, just stopped a huge penalty shot. Ellen White could have tied it up just a little earlier. They called her offsides. So with about 5 minutes left in extra time, USA leading 2-1 could move on to the finals to face either Netherlands or Sweden. And that game is tomorrow at 2 p.m. And that has been my sports update.
Way to go, buddy. Way to go. Way to go.
I'm telling you, man, you're sounding better, man. You're sounding a lot more relaxed. Like, way to go on you.
Feeling more relaxed.
So, I tell you, Josh Bauman is going to love me, right? Because he's out in Vegas. So he asked me if he should put a bet on the game. And I was like, you know, absolutely. Wanted me to know what the score was going to be. And I told him, U.S. is going to win 2-1. And I've got proof of this. I told him that at around 1:30. Like, you know, absolutely. Ooh, somebody's just got a red card.
Red
Who
card?
Was that? Oh, one of the English
England.
Players giving a red card. Millie Bright, you are out of here, darling.
That was her second yellow.
Ah, well, you know what? I mean, there's like 7 minutes left of the game with some extra time. She's got, ooh, yeah.
Laying studs up.
That was a pretty, what just happened was a vicious tackle as she swooped into the ankles of Morgan. That was not pretty cool. I hope Morgan isn't hurt for the game that's well that she's going to be in next because, you know, I mean, come on. England, you've got like 7 minutes. You're out of it. Like, you know,
well,
let's just be honest. Well, I mean, they might pull something, but I don't know, man.
They're showing the replay of that penalty kick, and it doesn't seem like she got all of that ball.
No, she did not.
Just stayed on the ground. It wasn't
I think
hard.
It was Millie Bright that took the penalty, and she should have actually tried. She went for a safe shot along the ground and... Whatever. All right. I'm out of it. Okay. So out of sports, you know, I'm fine. I don't care who wins this game. I've got a foot in both of them. But Josh Bauman, if you're listening, you owe me money because I caught it 2-1, and that's what he put the bet on. That is what he put the bet on. So if he wins, I get a cut. All right. Got a question here on the text line. Does the Grub X stuff you lay down with a seed spreader work at all to control moles? When it comes to the pellets and stuff like that, I'm gonna say no, because they might not all get dissolved and absorbed into the ground, or they might not all be eaten by insects when you go to mow your lawn. So the first thing, so if you've got one of those bags that sucks it up, you're losing everything you just put down, right? Or if not, you're flinging it all over the yard away from you just mowed, so it's all going outside, so it's not going to get into the ground. If you want to use that GrubX stuff, also, I mean, you know, if birds see it, they could eat it, it poisons them, they die, that's not very cool. But if you would like to actually use some of that BugX stuff, maybe try, think about dissolving it in water, stuff like that first, you know? Maybe find an actual water version of that. I'm sure there's going to be a liquid version of BugX that you can attach to a hose or something, much like there is with the plant feeders, you know? You can, if you got nice flowers, you can get the plant food that attaches to your hose and it sprays out evenly. I think you can find the same stuff with GrubX. That I would recommend would probably be the best option to do that, because that way it's absorbed into the ground and it's going to be affecting the grubs and the bugs and stuff that are down there. Because, you know, if you use pellets, as I said, it's going to sit on the top. It might get to them. It might not. In my opinion, you're wasting your money. Get something that you can dissolve in water, or this, which is a liquid form, which is spread out easily and then absorbed into the ground.
Well, I've heard of an old-time, I guess, remedy for this, putting chewing gum. I mean, I don't know how is
chewing gum.
I think it's because
it mimics that of a worm, so that's what they see, or that's what they, you know, are sensed to, is this worm-like object. Same kind of consistency, but I don't think they can digest it.
Right.
So sure, you can put a stick of gum in there if you want. Like, obviously, chew it at first, make it look like a worm, and then they eat it. They can't digest it or really do anything with it, so it just stays in and it kills them.
Hmm.
And that's how it does. It takes a very, very long time, but, you know, what are you going to do? So, right, now on to a homemade mosquito trap.
Ooh, yes.
All right, and this one, because if you're outside, you know, I mean, you can use the citronella candles, you can use the burners and stuff like that. They work well, but having something that kind of just deters only the weaker mosquitoes. The real one who's really hungry, like a female with eggs, she's really hungry. She's going to fight through that, and she is going to feast on you. So you put a trap outside. They get kind of drawn to that more. And it's one of these cord traps where they can get in, but they can't get out because they're not very good at understanding, like, glass or clear plastics or stuff like that. They just see the great outdoors, and they don't understand why they can't get to it. So for this homemade mosquito trap, and this is what you're going to need. You're going to need 1 cup of water, an empty plastic Coke bottle, preferably 2 liter, and then you're going to need 1/4 cup of brown sugar, 1 gram of yeast, and that should be about it. And you kind of mix them all up, right? Mix it all up. You put it in the bottom of the bottle, and then what you do is you cut the bottle in half, all right? So you've got the mouthpiece, the nozzle. You put that upside down into the other half of the 2 liter bottle, all right? So you got the mouthpiece in the bottle, and that's where it stays, above the solution that you've just made. Now, to keep them in there together, you're going to use some duct tape, electrical tape, any kind of sealant. I mean, if you want, you can use glue, I suppose. You want to make sure that there is a seal in between the top bit of the bottle, which you have just turned upside down, into the bottom piece of the bottle. All right. Now, what happens then is that gives off a scent, that gives off some stuff, and they kind of are drawn down into the bottom of it, right? Because of the little nozzle. But then once they're in there and they've smelled around, they try to escape and they just try to fly outwards. They don't realize that they can fly back out the hole because they're not really thinking. They're just panicking, and they try to fly outwards, and it just keeps on collecting them and collecting them and collecting them. And the solution says here it lasts about 2 weeks. So the in the official instructions are: cut the plastic bottle in half, which is what I just said, mix the brown sugar with hot water, then let it cool. When cold, pour in the bottom of the half bottle, add the yeast, and apparently there's no need to mix, but whatever. It creates carbon dioxide, which attracts the mosquitoes. Place the funnel part upside down into the other half of the bottle, taping them together if desired, which is like what I said, you need to create a seal, all right? Okay. So I worked in a kitchen where, unfortunately, we had quite a few midges and those tiny little flies. And we tried everything to get rid of them, but they were coming out from the sewer. What are you going to do? So, and I don't work in this kitchen anymore. I haven't worked in there years. I wasn't a manager of the kitchen. I was just a grunt. So I did what I did. And what we used to do was either get beer, ale, honey and water, something like that. And you put it in the bottom of the container. And then we used to get like a paper funnel, you know, and just like it says in this, they fly in, they're attracted to it, they can find their way in, they can't find their way out. So it's kind of like a organic way, if you will, of taking care of some of those pesky bugs. All right, now on the line we have Steve. Steve has a question about roaches. Steve, how you doing today, sir?
I'm doing all right.
Oh, good. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm AM in the PM. Hallelujah.
Good for you. Thank you very much.
And I own a couple of properties. Some I rent out, some I just flip and sell.
Okay.
But there's one that I'm getting ready to sell, and it hasn't been lived in, I don't know, a good year.
Okay.
But I use the same ortho pest control every year.
Yeah.
And I've never had an insect problem.
Okay.
But now I found that property has roaches.
Okay.
So I'm wondering, should I change what I'm using? Should I use a different tactic?
First of all, what kind of roaches? Can you describe what they look to me? Because, like, are they large roaches about the size of your thumb? Are they small roaches, kind of almost, I would say, maybe half an inch long and maybe about an eighth to two-eighths of an inch wide? And they kind of like, well, really there's only one bad roach that you want in an apartment complex, or that you don't want, I should say, and that is the German roach. The German roach is the one that feeds on, like, grease and filth and just becomes a hazard.
Well, I actually saw two kinds. One, I'd say maybe it's the biggest one I saw was maybe the size of a nickel, only kind of elongated.
Okay, well.
And it was really fat. There was another kind that I saw.
Yeah.
Which was pretty small.
Okay. Like
maybe the quarter the size of a penny. And it was more elongated and had a skinnier body.
That's a German roach. That's probably a young German roach. And you can tell because on the very back of the roach, where the shoulders of the roach would be, I guess, I think it's called the thorax, you'll see there's like a little pattern. There's like a caramel colored and mixed in with a brown colored, and they're stripes, right? So that's a German roach, and that's how you tell. You've got these two or three brown stripes going over its color. Those are the bad ones. What that means is somebody in the apartment complex has probably brought them in from outside or in the home or whatnot, because they're only ever brought in by people. They hang out in cardboard boxes. They hang out in moving materials. They hang out in papers. They pretty much hang out anywhere they can just go unnoticed and stuff that isn't really settled or messed with. Now, you can bring this up to your... do you have a pest control guy that comes out and does a regular treatment?
I actually don't. I knew enough to take care of them.
You actually can. There is something, right? And I used to use it. I still got a couple of tubes I did at home that I liberated from my former employer. Hopefully he's not listening. and it is called Advian Cockroach, all right? And that is, do you have a pen and paper ready? Or something you can write down?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Let me know when you're ready, because this stuff is like, I mean, it's really, really good. It's a slower process, but you're actually gonna pretty much take care of all of your roaches. All right, so you ready?
Yes.
All right. It is pronounced Advian, and it's spelt Advion. All right, and I know Walmart says it because. Sells it because I'm looking on their website right now. So if they don't have any in store, you can go ahead and use it. And England have just been kicked out of the Women's World Cup. No worries, ladies. Still proud of you. So you go ahead and you get this Advian cockroach bait, right? And it'll come with a fine blue nozzle, all right? And it almost looks like a syringe, okay? Or like a tube of cork. So you get that, and then what you want to do, there are some key places. The kitchen is somewhere you really want to attack. The bathroom is somewhere you really want to attack. And maybe in the basement area or a closet if you've got a lot of old boxes there, old cardboard, because they love to hang out in the divots. In the kitchen, what you want to do is you want to get behind the oven. You want to get behind the microwave. You want to get underneath the sink. You want to get in drawers. I mean, like at the very back of the drawers is where they like to hang out. Because you pull a drawer out, and if you've got a bad enough infestation, you'll see them scatter because all of a sudden they've seen the light and there's like people there and it scares them. and you don't want to go crazy with this stuff. You just like, you know, maybe say, trying to think here. Like a 1 second squeeze is pretty much all you need to of this paste to put out there, because that's what they eat. And you put it in those significant areas, like, and it will take care of them. It does take a while, because what this happens is with the German roaches, the young ones kind of feed on the excrement of the older ones. All right, because if they get caught by the older ones, they get eaten. So they tend to just kind of leave them alone and just feed on their excrement and let the big ones do their thing. So what happens is when you put down this gel, the bigger ones or the mature ones, the adults, they come over, they feast, in a couple of days, they die, and that's that. Then the smaller ones, they get a little bit bigger, they come up, they eat the stuff, and they die. And it's a cycle, and it keeps on going. And I'm not entirely sure, but here's a little bit of science stuff for you. There may be a chemical in this Advian cockroach so that actually sterilizes the bugs. So, I'm not kidding you. This is something that they use, and it's really kind of fascinating. The bugs will eat this tainted chemical or whatnot, and then they can't produce live eggs. So they lay eggs, they go off and they die, but the eggs are dead already, so they don't hatch anymore, which is kind of fascinating, really. But yeah, the worst ones are the German roaches, and that's pretty much how you take care of them. It is a slow process. It's going to take about 2 to 3 weeks from all to disappear, but if you look at those key points where you see most of the moisture or any grease, which is going to be in a kitchen, you know, do you have one of those hoods above your oven, or like the fan or anything that takes out any smoke and stuff like that?
Yeah, that place, there is one.
Yeah. That is another good place to put down some of that gel, because when you're cooking, you know, moisture and grease get sucked up there and then it collects, and that's what they live on. So I would recommend, mate, unless you want to call up a pest control technician and have them come out and do it. I mean, you're going to be paying for the service and the fee, but they're going to be doing everything that I just told you to do. They might be using some more advanced chemicals, and it's going to be a professional to do it, so depending on how severe the issue is, I would recommend doing that, you know, maybe going through a service. But if it's something you think you can handle and nip in the bud, then go on to Walmart. Just type in roach killer or that Advian stuff, because since you wrote down the name, and that's what you got. You're looking at about $30. You get 4 tubes, and it's going to last you for about 6 or 7 months. Like, it's going to be quite enough.
Cool. And I also want to say kudos to Ortho, because, like, I've never had an issue not at any other properties I've ever owned.
Oh, no. Yeah, they are
finally
a great service.
They overtook it. And
I will absolutely. I didn't work for Orville, but I can tell you they're not one of those companies that kind of like just takes your money, does a crappy job, and then leaves. Like, they actually take pride in their business. So, yeah, if you want to use them, then, yeah, knock yourself out, because you will. I mean, like I said, it's still probably going to take a while. They may have to come back and do a second treatment, but it's going to be worth it, and you know the problem's going to be solved.
No, I didn't use the company, or I used their product.
Oh, really?
Their bug stuff.
Oh, man, so, I didn't even know you could buy their bug stuff separate. Look at me. Look at me learning stuff, huh? There you go. That's what I love it. Give and take, you know? Everybody's learning something on this show. All right, Steve, well, thank you very much, sir. I got to let you go because we got to do some other stuff, but thank you for your call. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Simon.
You
have a good one.
You too, bud. You too. Yeah, man. Those bugs, that's not cool. All right, Quentin, do you have a question? Because
yes,
you got
quite
45
quickly.
Seconds. Sure.
All right. I've been noticing these carpet beetles showing up, and, you know, they're not really dangerous in a sense because they're just feeding on, you know, cloth and
right.
Food
still,
and
they're like, quite annoying.
Yes, very annoying. So how can I get rid of those?
How can you get rid of those? You're going to need some bug spray, and I'm going to need more time, but don't worry. We'll talk about that off-air if you want to come in while I'm playing the news.
For sure.
And we'll go over that. You can get some pretty decent insecticide and things like that to kind of take care of it. And it's all about treatment, really. Those are the ones. Silverfish are probably the worst when it comes to that, because they get everywhere. They hang out in your bathrooms, and it's just It's not a fun experience. All right, that is the first hour done. If you do have any bug questions that you would like to ask, you want some help, go ahead, send over a text, 855-282-8255. I'll answer them during the break while we're just kind of hanging out. Coming up, we're going to be looking at your national news. We're going to be looking at traffic. We're going to hear from Frank about one of his clients and one of our sponsors, and then it's going to be Dan Buffer. So bring it on, man. I'm looking forward to it. It is 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Martin Kilcoyne. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590thefan.com, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Dean Muccio. A new CNN poll conducted after last week's Democratic debates shows the Democratic presidential race appearing to be wide open. California Senator Kamala Harris has jumped to second place at 17%, sitting behind former VP Joe Biden at 20%.